If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning, and let's just call it a Tech Tuesday, because I used to call it a Tech Tuesday when we talk technology on a Tuesday. And joining us right now is technology journalist Andy Inatko. Andy, you used to work for the Chicago Sun-Times, didn't you?
Yeah, for about 20 years.
I remember your little picture there, and I used to read your column all the time. I am a bit of a, I love tech. I really do. And I want to say something. I love my MacBook computer. I love my Apple iPhone, but I'm not that kind of Apple fan where I need to know every single solitary bit of news that comes out of Cupertino. But there was a big event yesterday with Apple, and are there things we need to know about?
Yeah, pretty much. Apple announced a brand new product, and normally that's not quite so big a deal. And usually, at this time every year, they have their annual developers conference, and it's kind of like a State of the Union address because it happens once a year. It's a good chance for the CEO and everybody to say, here's what we're doing, here's what we want to release in the next year. Also, they need to have the developers aware of all this new stuff coming so that they can, you know, write software for it and support it. And the really, really big news, though, this time was that it wasn't just a new version of the watch, wasn't just a new version of the MacBook, though there was a new MacBook. The big deal is that they finally announced a set of virtual reality goggles. This is something that we've been looking at for the past 3 or 4 years, knowing that Apple is really, really close to releasing them, like year after year after year. This year, it really, really happened, and Apple is not just putting it out there as, oh, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we did virtual reality goggles? They really do think that this is going to be the thing that that they do after the iPhone. Like, when people get sick and tired of carrying iPhones in their pockets all the time, they're going to start to get sick and tired of, you know, putting goggles on their faces all the time and doing everything through virtual reality. So you can see the excitement that Tim Cook and the rest of the executives were about yesterday all day.
And there's a really small price tag on these, isn't there?
It depends on who your audience is. It's a tidy little $3,500. The good news is that you have at least a year to save up for them, because they're not going to be released until next year. And they do look just as goofy as every other piece of virtual reality goggle. So they're very much in step with the rest of the industry there. However, all joking aside, this is very, very early days for the product, for every single virtual reality product. That's why this has been so kind of interesting for people like me who follow tech and follow these companies. Usually when Apple releases a product like the iPhone, for example, they wait for other companies like BlackBerry, Nokia, and Sony to, like, basically create the market for it, you know, so they can see, okay, so what kind of phones do people like, and what kind of money can we make on it, and what can we do that these other companies aren't doing with their products? Virtual reality, there are, like, Microsoft makes a virtual reality that also costs about $3,500. Meta, Facebook makes their own set. They've had that for a few years for like $800. It's mostly for gaming. But the consumers have yet to say that this is a product that we want. So it's really, really unusual for Apple to say, okay, we're going to just go in blindly and hope that a market develops for this by the time that we get this technology down right. And although the demo that they gave yesterday was pretty cool, it definitely looks like a first generation thing, you know what I mean? Where this is like the first, like, laptops that had a battery that would last like maybe 2 hours,
yeah,
a tiny little screen, and that's that sort of stuff. I think that's what we're getting right now. I think Apple would love it if, like, the display technology were so good, so evolved by now that you could actually have, like, eyeglass lenses that have built-in screens in them, so you could wear, like, a normal single pair of glasses and still have like these virtual screens floating in front of you and dinosaurs like, you know, leading you on your workout as you walk down the street.
Right.
But that's not there yet. So we're stuck with these big, big goggles, but it's still a good enough platform that Apple can, once again, let's get this out there so that the people who are really, really eager to get going with this, particularly software developers who have never, ever developed software for a computer like this before, they can at least get this going so that in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, when they do have the kinds that cost about as much as an iPhone, let's say $1,000 or less, the kind that you and I might be interested in getting. Now, by the time we get into the market, there'll be all the software available for it. And moreover, I can't stress this enough. Maybe in 2 or 3 or 4 years' time, Apple will understand what normal people want in a device like this, or if they want it at all.
That's a good point. All right, we're talking to Andy Anatko, and what's Mac Break Weekly? Tell me about that.
Oh, that's one of the podcasts I do. As a matter of fact, we're recording a couple of hours, after this. It's a weekly podcast for the This Week in Technology podcast network, and we talk about all news, Apple, iPhones, Watch, Apple Watch, everything that has to do with Apple, their business, their employment, their labor history, all that kind of stuff. It's about a two-hour podcast we record live from 2 to 4 Eastern. That would be an hour early where you guys are. And you can just get it wherever any good podcasts are downloaded.
All right, I'm going to call into that podcast, and I'm going to say, you know, I keep buying more storage on my iPhone, and I don't even know how to access it. So that's something we may touch on. But we do have more topics for sure. Andy Anatko coming up next. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. More Apple news coming your way as well. It's a Tech Tuesday, that's what we're calling it, and technology journalist Andy Anatko on the line with us. Andy, in all seriousness, I do keep buying new storage more and more on my iCloud. Should I just buy an external hard drive and start cleaning out all my pictures and everything? Is that the way to do it?
Yeah, pretty much. The thing is, other systems like Google, Dropbox, other cloud storage systems, they charge a lot less money for a lot more storage. So it's a much more viable option to say, okay, you know what, I'll pay an extra $2 or $3 a month to get 10 times as much storage. Apple isn't quite so generous. You can buy a larger iCloud storage plan, so you can store more of your stuff in the cloud and back things up a lot more simply. However, yeah, it's a good idea to occasionally connect your phone directly to your Mac, make sure that you have actual local copies of all the photos that are a little bit old, and then, you know, free up space on your phone itself. There are a lot of strategies to combat this sort of stuff, but yeah, you can't just keep throwing money away month after month after month on more storage, because that really does add up. Believe me, I know.
No, I have to save some money for extra lives in Candy Crush. That's what I need to do. All right. So here's the question. There's a new iOS system that has come out. Are we up to 17? I think I'm updated for now.
You're up to 17. Yep, yeah. They showed off the new version of the iPhone operating system that won't be out until about September. But once again, this is the developer conference when they show off stuff early. And you'll never believe this. One of the best features that they're doing is to actually make the thing into a better phone. Like normally, it's like, hey, look what happens. You can turn this into a desk clock if you turn it onto its side. No, they've actually like started paying attention to simple features. They're bringing a feature that I've always loved on my Google Pixel phone. The phone rings, you know, that at this point you've been inured to say, okay, this is almost certainly going to be a scam call or something like that. Now you can actually, with the iOS 17, when it comes at the end of the year, when voicemail comes in, as the person is recording it, it will turn the speech into text and put it on your screen, so you can actually read the message as it's being left. And then, hey, wait a minute, that's actually my... actually interrupt and answer the phone. Just like boomers and Generation Xers could remember when you had answering machines that had actual cassettes, so you could actually listen to somebody leaving. Yeah, so that sort of thing that makes things a lot more convenient. Actually, though, the I'll try to make this really quick, but I'm really, really excited about the new features they're putting in for accessibility to help people who don't have motor control, maybe have cognitive problems, maybe have speech problems. They're putting a whole bunch of features that are almost magical. One of them is that let's say that you have a degenerative disease that is going to cause you to lose your power of speech, or as our friend Roger Ebert had a surgery that's going to cost him his voice. There's a feature coming up so that before that happens, you can actually train an artificial intelligence made by Apple to create a voice model, a model of your voice digitally, so that when you are incapable of using your own voice, you can actually do text-to-speech on your phone that will actually create, that will actually speak in a very, very close simulation of your natural voice, and that will work in any app that does that uses speech systems. And that is amazing to me.
That is.
That's the sort of stuff that technology is supposed to do. And I won't get into all of them, but another one is just so simple that there are people who have cognitive limitations where they can use a phone, however, the cognitive load of a typical phone screen is just way, way too much. There are too many buttons, there are too many steps, there are too many menus. So if you enable this mode, it all gets simplified down into here is one button to push to send a message. Here is one thing to take a look at. Here is one arrow to click on to scroll up and down. It just simplifies everything to such an easy degree that it will make the iPhone usable by way, way, way more people than it would be normally. And that's, again, I keep coming back to the idea that technology, it's fun to talk about this $3,500 virtual reality goggles, but to me, the purpose of technology is to make sure that technology is available to everybody, not just people who have $3,500, or not just people who don't have problems with cognition, don't have problems with fine motor skills. Technology should be used to make sure that everybody can use this technology, because if it's not available to everybody, then it's not really reaching its potential, is it? So the other iOS iPhone features are coming out later this year. They're nice, but these accessibility features have got me really excited.
That is a great thing. And just so you know, I'm at 16.5, so I'm on the iOS. I'm updated as best I can be. And I'm very excited because there's a new fix coming. Because listen, when I do talk to text and I say the F word, I don't mean duck. That's all I'm going to say. So hopefully that'll be fixed, right?
Yeah. That's one of the smaller features that they're talking about where I'm so interested in things like this. It's hard to like know when to stop. But
you got like 30 seconds.
There's speech to text systems that try to censor you. Say, hey, I'm not translating that. You're not getting me involved in your little tirade. So now they're putting in a new feature so that yes, it can sort of modify and mollify naughty words into something that is less naughty for you on the fly and automatically. So yes, if you want to do like if you want to turn yourself into Ned Flanders, where yes, I know what he was trying to say. He said freaking or flipping. Like,
yes.
No. He actually said the other word, but that's what. But the phone decided to say, you know what? I'm going to save your job now,
and exactly.
I'm going to turn that into something nice.
Well, Andy, it was a pleasure talking to you, technology journalist Andy Anatko. You can check him out on his podcast Mac Break Weekly through This Week in Tech. I'd love to talk to you again.
Absolutely, anytime.